morning. Welcome here this morning. Message title this morning is What You Feed Will Grow. And here a number of years ago, we got a couple sheep from my brother downstate, and I kind of joke sometimes that I'm the only one of my brothers that didn't end up being a farmer, but there's still parts of it that I like, and so I kind of try to pick those couple things out that I like and try to be a little bit of a farmer sometimes. Anyhow, we got these sheep, and we've really enjoyed having sheep. One of the things that's always fun for me to watch is sheep grazing. I don't know why why I like it, but it certainly isn't because it's exciting. But they just walk through the pasture and just nibble the grass. And when there's baby sheep, lambs, when mom's pace gets a little bit too slow, they'll just randomly start jumping all around and running in circles and chasing each other. Anyhow, it's been kind of a fun family project. And here recently, we had another kind of round of lambs, and we had three ewes that had twins. All three of them had twins. And it's always interesting to me. I don't know, I imagine all animals are like this, but somehow it seems like sheep are more this way. You'll have good moms and bad moms. And there's some sheep, ewes, that just almost like try to keep their lambs away, don't let them feed. Sometimes they'll pick one of them out, and that's the one that they let feed, and the other one they just seems like as soon as it tries to come close, they buff it away. And here last year we had, over wintertime, or it was maybe early spring, we had some lambs, and the mom rejected the one, and we decided, we got this bright idea that we're going to bring it into the house and have it in the basement, and we're going to make sure this lamb doesn't die. And it did work, but for a while there, our house smelled a little like a barn, and we decided that isn't happening again. If a lamb is supposed to die, we're gonna try to do what we can for it, but if a lamb is supposed to die, it's just gonna die. Anyhow, so just recently we had these sets of twins, and this one mom was, again, just not a very good mom. She'd kind of, buff the lambs away. And the one of them was, I guess, a little stronger and a little more persistent, and it seemed to be able to get what it needed. But as time went on, it became pretty obvious which lamb wasn't getting fed. And they started out the same size, but it was within days you could tell the one just wasn't developing and wasn't growing. And we tried to pen it in a small place where the mom couldn't get away from the lambs, and we kind of tried to do what we could, but it only lasted for so long, and the one lamb kept getting bigger and the other one just stayed the same size, and eventually it became too weak and it died. You can turn with me to Galatians 6. We're kind of at the end of the year here, and this is kind of a normal time for us to look back and maybe take a little inventory of the last year. And maybe my thoughts were running maybe similar to Leal's thoughts this morning. I'm taking a little bit different approach, but very, very similar thoughts. And it's just normal this time of the year to look back over the past year and kind of reminisce of what all happened, and maybe think about all the good memories we have. And it's also sometimes this time of the year we look back and we think, I didn't do so good here, or I think I could do better. And that's why New Year's resolutions are so popular, because we look back and we see things that we don't like. And so this is a new year. We're gonna change that. We're gonna make some resolutions. And the goal of my message this morning, there's two things. One, I would like us all together to just kind of look back over our past year and just take honest inventory and look at our lives and what we've done, how we've lived our lives, what we've fed in our lives, and take an account for that. And then number two, make some goals, maybe some personal goals for the new year and what we're going to do differently. Or maybe we look back over 2025 and think, I feel like I've really gained some ground in this area or that area. And that's not wrong. If that's your experience, praise the Lord and figure out what worked and keep doing that. I'm going to read Galatians 6 verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And again, this is, we recognize this as the law of sowing and reaping. It's very simple. What we plant is what we'll reap. It applies to natural life, the farmers and gardeners. What they plant is what they can expect to reap. And it applies to our personal lives and our spiritual lives. What we feed, what we plant, is what we can expect to reap. And we say sometimes it's not rocket science. It's pretty basic stuff, but it's good for us to remind ourselves of it. Because we can be a little like a wood stove sometimes. If we stop feeding, if we stop feeding on the right thing, or if we stop feeding the wood stove, nothing major happens. It's not like anything explodes or anything bad happens. It just slowly goes cold. No one panics. No one hears an alarm. But eventually the house goes cold. And that's how it is with our spiritual lives as well. If we stop feeding it, we go cold. And I have 5 points this morning, and we're just going to kind of look at a number of Bible verses that talks about what we feed on and what we can expect to become. And Galatians 6 verses 7 through 9 is kind of our theme text, and it's what we'll go back to. What we feed on, what we sow, is what we can expect to reap. So my first point is consider your ways. And in Haggai, you can turn there if you want to, Haggai 1. This is a call to reflect. And this was a story of the children of Israel. They had been in Babylon. They had been in exile there. They came back, and they were going to rebuild the temple, but they ran into some opposition, and it didn't go well, and so they got discouraged. And what did they do? They got wrapped up in building their own houses and living for themselves and making sure they got settled in, but they didn't build God's temple. And there in Haggai 1, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." And I suppose it's natural for Christians to struggle with the balance of keeping our spiritual lives and our physical lives, and keeping that balance there. It's good and right to work and have hobbies and just to live our natural lives, but there's also the place where it can get out of balance. And God was calling on the children of Israel to just look back and to look at what they were doing and to see how out of balance their lives were. They were feeding themselves. They were feeding their natural lives. They were taking care of themselves, but they weren't building the temple of God. And it's so easy for us to get fall in that same same trap that we're feeding our natural lives, the things that are in it for us. And this was a call to reflect, a call for God. God asked them to consider your ways. He said it's like earning wages and putting it into a bag with holes. It's never enough. You can keep dumping it in, but it's never enough. It gets away as fast as you put it in. And Solomon knew all about this. Solomon tried all these things. He tried to feed his desire for pleasure and his love of pleasure, and he found out that it was never enough. It was like putting it into a bag with holes. It was never enough. And there's a story of an old man that was talking to his grandson, and he said, there's a battle of two wolves inside us all. And the one wolf is anger and jealousy and greed, and the other wolf is a good wolf. It's joy and peace and love. And the boy asked, which one of these wolves is going to win? And the old man said, the one that you feed. And as we reflect back over our life and over our last year, which one are we feeding? Which one am I feeding? And so to really move forward and we need to take an accurate inventory of our lives. If we look back at 2025, and if our angry wolf got bigger, it's not because the devil was more powerful, but it's because that's the wolf that we gave the lunch to every day. Point number two is starve our flesh. And Romans 13:14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And make not provision literally means don't plan for it. In other words, don't set the table. Don't make it easy to sin. Don't make provision for the flesh. Do what it takes to keep the temptations out of your life. You can turn with me to Colossians. Colossians 3. Verse 5 through 9. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And this is the sowing that to the flesh. It's the sowing that we don't want the reaping that goes along with this. We cannot feed our spirit if our plate is full of the world. And before we grow in Christ, we have to make sure we're starving these things, that these things that it talks about here, that we're not giving them any foothold in our lives. And it's easy to, these things are all around us. It's easy to feed on the things of the world, and especially those of us with phones and technology. It's so easy to soak up those things that it's all about the things that do nothing good for us, and it's the things that feed our flesh. And we're called on to starve our flesh, to make not provision for the flesh. And there are things that might be good and right, but if we carry them too far, or if we don't exercise restraint, they can take over our lives and choke out our spiritual lives. And there's a, I understand like English ivy is an invasive species, and it can make a, it can make a really nice ground cover or even house plants. It has the like shiny green foliage that stays green all winter long. And it's pretty, but if it's left go, it will like wrap around trees, it will choke the light off from the forest floor, and it can take over and choke out the life to the habitat around it. And it's a little like the things of life. If we are not able to keep them in their proper place, whether it's our jobs or our hobbies or whatever it might be, it can choke out the things of the spirit. And maybe the end of this year is a good time to look back over 2025 and think about maybe what apps need to be deleted on our phone, or what safeguards we need to just strengthen in our lives to keep the things that are feeding the flesh in there. Yeah, just keep them cut off, or keeping those things in the proper perspective. Point number three is feeding our spirit. And in Jeremiah 15:16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." In Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And there's a side to this that we train ourselves. We have an appetite for what we feed on, and we develop that appetite. And Jeremiah said he did eat God's word, and they were joy unto him. And for us to experience that same thing, we need to leave the things that are feeding the flesh, and we need to feed on the things that are filling the spirit, God's word. Proverbs 4:23, where it says, "Keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life." I think it shows the importance of what we put in and what we absorb and what we feed on, because "for out of it are the issues of life" to me says that's when you face life, when you face the hard things in life, that's what's going to determine the choices that you make. And what you put in there determines those choices. And what we put in our heart will eventually decide the outcome of our life and where we spend eternity. When Jeremiah ate the words, it says, "I did eat them," an interesting picture. He didn't just read them, but he consumed them, and they became a part of him. And as we read God's word, as we take in those things that feed our spiritual lives, it should be our goal that they become a part of us. And that the decisions we make are affected by what we read and what we put into our hearts. We develop an appetite for what we feed on. And probably every one of us would say our wives, our mothers are good cooks. And part of it is because we've learned to like what they make. And it's, when we got married, I remember how different my wife's cooking was than my mom's cooking, and it was, she made different dishes, but you develop a taste for what you eat, and that's the same the way it is with what we consume in our minds and our eyes. Here, about 2 years ago, when we built our house, it was basically in the middle of a field, and when we seeded the lawn the next year, when the grass came in, there was just a lot of thistles. And so the children would be running around out in the grass, and They'd either have to wear shoes or they'd always be getting prickers in their feet because of all the thistles. So we reached out to True Green Kemlon or whatever it is and got them. All we wanted them to do was to spray for thistles so it would get rid of the thistles. But we left them talk us into doing the weed and feed, which is feeding the grass, which we just were constantly mowing the yard, and it was just the grass grew so fast. But one of the things they said, and I think it's probably true, if you don't feed the grass and give that, make that healthy, when we get rid of the weeds, there will be more weeds that come in there and take up that empty place. And that's how it is for our life as well. You know, we can try to starve out the things of this world, and maybe we can say, hey, I'm getting too much time into my technology and my screen time, and I'm gonna do something about that. But unless we feed our soul and unless we feed our spirit, there will be something else that comes into that open spot. In 2026, let's commit to spending more time in God's Word, eating the Word so it becomes a part of us. Don't just eat one big meal on Sunday. Snack on the Scripture throughout the week. Point number four, evaluating our friends. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And in the NIV version says, "Bad company corrupts good character." And Paul was urging the Corinthians to be careful who your close associates are. Be careful who you're listening to, because they do influence you. And sometimes we talk to the youth and say, be careful the friends you choose, and be careful, because those friends are gonna either help you to do what's right or turn you down the wrong road. But I think that's true. And I do want to make that appeal to the youth to be careful of your friendships. But sometimes I think us as adults or middle age can be just as susceptible to those around us, and maybe those that we do business with, or maybe podcasts and things that we listen to. And there's so many of those things that have enough of truth in them that they really seem appealing, but there's enough of untruth or enough of danger in them. Sometimes we don't see it the way it is. And we become like our friends or the people we spend a lot of time with. My parents were around on Christmas Day, and Dad was talking again about his 1W experience when it was during the Vietnam War. And there was a bunch of these young Mennonite boys that would go do some service in different areas. And Dad talked a little bit about some of the conscientious objector, the 1W boys that were just out to have a party. And it was a time when they were young men, 18, 20s, and they were down there, just no parental, you know, authority, nobody to watch them. And Dad talked a little bit about how, you know, it showed pretty quickly the people that were the young men that wanted to do what's right and those that didn't have much conviction. And there was, over that time, there was a lot of young men that drifted away and that are not close to God today. And part of it was because some of the associations that they kept. It's a challenge for us to not only choose our friends wisely, but to be the kind of friends that build each other up. If you take a red hot coal out of a fire and put it outside the fire, it's not long till it's burned out and it's cold. You put that same coal back in among the glowing embers, and it's warm again. And that is the kind of friends we want to choose. That's the kind of friends that we want to be, the kind of friends that draw us closer to God. The fifth point I have is patience in the process. I'm going to go back to Galatians 6 again. Verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And there's a side of it that sometimes the harvest, almost always, the harvest is delayed. And so whether it's feeding our spirit or feeding our flesh, the harvest isn't always noticeable right away. And this is a challenge to not be weary in well-doing, even though we might not see the harvest right away. We sometimes, it's like we live in a microwave generation. We want instant results. And the danger of giving up before we experience the harvest. And, you know, if you take a farmer or a gardener that plants the seeds and doesn't have enough patience to wait till that the crop comes to maturity, it's the same way as we live our lives and as we feed on God's word. There will be times when there's discouraging things that happen. There's things that we don't understand, and there's things that might tempt us to give up. But the encouragement is to not be weary in well-doing, to continue feeding our spirit. And I guess my challenge that I would leave with you is what you feed in 2026 is going to grow. And what is that going to be? And the devil wants to distract us. The devil wants us to, he puts a buffet in front of us of all kinds of things that will lead us away from God and that will feed our flesh, but it will take us away from God. God is setting the table before us, and the choice is ours. I came across a saying, or a little saying here. It says, "The devil doesn't need to destroy you. He just needs to distract you. He doesn't take your Bible. He just fills your schedule. He doesn't ask you to deny God. He just keeps you busy enough to stop pursuing him." Let's make sure we're feeding the right thing. Let's kneel for prayer.